Why, hello there, and welcome.
You're listening to the Creepy Crap Podcast. It's quick, simple, and Australian. Now, if you want to follow along on the socials, you can get the show on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Discord, all at one word at the Creepy Crap Podcast. Or we could share film histories on Letterboxd at the Creepy Crap Pod. And if you enjoy the podcast today, why not show some love with a 5-star review on whatever app you listen to this with? Alright, now let's start one of Australia's favourite horror podcasts, the Creepy Crap Podcast. And be warned that this episode will most likely contain swearing, spoilers, and adult themes. Hello and welcome, Creepy Crapsters, to another year of the Creepy Crap Podcast. My name's Danny Boy and thanks for joining me. This is a brand new season and a new start for the show. I've got a new logo, got new intros, got some new accounts, and a slightly new style of the show itself. I've always tried to be quick and not drag it out, but now I'm focusing on keeping that and making them short and sweet and covering the whole movie but without dragging it out for hours. I'm trying to offer something to the people that only have a small amount of time to listen, or the people that only have a short patience, and that's what this will be from now on. It's quick, it's simple, and it's Australian. That's my tagline and the vision for the show for 2024. Every second episode will still be an Australian film of some kind, and I'm just trying to put more effort into this year and interact more with people, you know, trying to get more guests and learn how to make video content and all that sort of stuff. Putting a lot more focus and effort into the show, unlike last year, which I think I got a bit lazy towards about the second half of the year, and I apologize for everyone I didn't give any attention to, even though they gave me attention, and I'm very sorry. But new year, new me, that's what I'm going with. It's cliche, but I am focusing on that. So there's plenty of new plans that I want to try and flesh out over the year, and if you are with me for the journey, I appreciate it. And now in the spirit of my vision, let's stop wasting time and get into the first episode of the year. This is a personal favourite of mine and one of the best Australian horror movies ever made in my opinion. So to kick off season 4 and the first episode of 2024, here is The Loved Ones. So The Loved Ones was released in 2009, has a runtime of 84 minutes, was directed and written by Sean Byrne. It stars Xavier Samuel, Robin McLeavy, John Brumpton, Richard Wilson, Victoria Thane, Jessica McNamee, and Andrew S. Gilbert. Here's the synopsis for the movie. It's pretty short. When Brent turns down his classmate Lola's invitation to the prom, she concocts a wildly violent plan for revenge. And that she does. Oh, yes, indeedy. All right, let's get into the movie. So the movie starts off with Xavier Samuel. His name's Brent. He's learning to drive with his dad. They're talking about how old the car is and all this sort of stuff. They're listening to the Little River Band, the song called Lonesome Loser, which seems such appropriate later on, and they're driving and all this sort of stuff. They're having a good time. The dad's about to have a cigarette and Brent doesn't like it, and they're not looking at the road, and then he looks back and there's some bloody guys sort of staggering on the road. They swerve to drive off, it goes black, and then it shows 6 months later, and you're like, oh my god, the dad just died, this is horrible. Now we see Xavier. He doesn't look happy at all. He's like, eyes are all dark, he's growing his hair out, he's getting some weed off his friend Jamie, and it's the end of the school year. They're all celebrating, they got the formal or the prom or whatever you want to call it, the end of year dance, and then the hot goth girl shows up. Her name's Mia. Jamie is in love with her, and then she walks off, and he runs off after her, and then he's like, she said yes. He asked her to the dance. He's all excited. Meanwhile, this is happening. We meet Lola. She comes up to Brent while he's at the locker, and she asks him to the dance, and he's like, no, and she's like, oh, and walks off, and you can see she's a bit upset. She looks like a bit of a weirdo and all this sort of stuff. But Brent has a girlfriend who we meet in a second. Her name's Holly. They start making out in the car, and he's like, someone asked me to the dance, and she keeps going, well, who is it? Who is it? And he goes, I won't tell you, I'll swear to the death. And then they start making out in the car. They take a shirt off, she takes his shirt off, and then she could see that this necklace has got a razor blade on it. He's been using it to cut himself, so he hasn't taken his dad's passing very well, as you wouldn't. And then she's going down on him in the car, and then we see outside the car, we see Lola's watching. No one sees that she's actually there, but it's very weird. You're like, what are you doing? Keep going. Why are you watching this? You're a pervert. And then Holly drops Brent off, but she has to do around the corner because he's weird about cars and all this sort of stuff, and his mum wouldn't be approving of it. And then she goes to say, I love you, but he doesn't say it back. And then he admits that it was Lola Stone was the one who asked him out to the prom. And then he gets back in the house. He's really upset and all this sort of stuff. The mum comes in. She's like, I'll get you a taxi for tonight. He's like, she has a license now, it's all good. I mean, she's like, no, she's not experienced. And he's like, not experienced. That's what you thought, isn't it? If I was more experienced, dad wouldn't have died. That's what you think, isn't it? And then he runs out of the house. He's got his iPod. He's listening to speakers. He goes to his little safe place, and he basically
rage rock climbs where he's like, ah, climbs up this rock wall and he holds back at one point and he looks like he's just like sitting there like, I could kill myself right now. Ah. And then he almost slips. He's like, oh God. He's like, no, it's all good. He gets up to the top. He's listening to music. And then out of nowhere, he's sitting there with his dog. Out of nowhere, someone just comes up, grabs him from behind, basically smothers him and then drives off in a white ute. What just happened? And then we cut back to his friend, Jamie. He's picking up Mia. He's got a nice tuxedo on. She shows up in just a black dress. She's like, come on, let's go. And he's got flowers. The family make him take a photo. And then we see her dad's the cop. He's the dad from around the twist. And then she drives off. She's like, come on, let's just get out of here. They take a couple nice photos and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, she looks very upset and just not with it. And just, she looks like something has happened, which we find out later. But at the moment, we don't know. They're just going to go to the dance and have some fun. And they're stopping before they go in there because they're going to drink and smoke up and all this sort of stuff. But then it cuts back to the mum and she's kind of like, okay, it's getting late now. Where's Brent? I'm worried. Oh my God, I feel like our conversation has set him off. Maybe he's run off because it sounds like he's done it a few times already. And then she goes there, can't find him. And she's like, okay, this is weird. This is the only place he must go to normally. And then Holly shows up as the mum's returning and he's like, I'm here for Brent. She's like, I don't know where he is. We had an argument. I don't know where he went. Oh my God, this is weird. And then the dog shows up and it's been like stabbed or something. Okay, if the dog's not with him, now we got to be worried. They call the cops and yeah, the dog showed up. Someone stabbed it. He's run off before, but like, this is different. He wouldn't have done this. And the cop's like, oh my God, which is me, his dad, as I just said. Brent's missing. So they're all together now in the house and they're like, this isn't good, man. Something's happened to Brent. And then we see the ute's driving off. It's picking up some chicken from a takeaway place. And as it's driving off there, it stops on the side of the road. There's a dead possum. Picks it up. What is going on here? And then the ute drives to a house and we're like, okay, we're going to see who it is. And then we see it from the point of view of whoever's in the truck, which is Brent. They take the cover off the back of the truck. It's Lola's dad with Lola. And they're like, yes, thank you. Instantly, like, what just happened? The dad has kidnapped literally an innocent person for his daughter. This is strange. It's very weird. And then he wakes up and then he's at the table and he's in a tuxedo. They're all dressed up. We saw like just before as well. She's in a room. Her room looks nice. It's got all like pictures on the wall. She's doing a scrapbook with Brent's picture and all this sort of stuff. It all looks fairly normal at this point, even though, you know, she's had someone kidnapped. I got your address. And he stares at her with this loving look, but it's also weird. Like, he doesn't blink and he's just like looking at her like he's like scared or loves her or doesn't know how to approach her that well. And she's like, oh my God, let me try it on. Help me with it. And then she just strips off to her underwear and he's staring, but he's like, he doesn't know if he's like allowed to look or he wants to look, but he shouldn't. Or it's weird that she just stripped off and she's so comfortable around him. Like, there's a weird dynamic with these two. It's very strange. She dresses up in this pink dress. And then we hear Casey Chambers as well. This is the first time we hear it. And there's like, not pretty enough, but it's a great song. It plays throughout a whole time. It's like, I guess she feel like she's not good enough or something like that. But anyway, they go to the table and they're sitting there and they're eating chicken now and all this sort of stuff. There's a disco ball. The whole place is decorated for the end of prom for their house. So, and Brent's going to be her like date and all this sort of stuff. It's very sus. The dad's dressed in a tuxedo. And then we see the mum, which they call Bright Eyes. And you're like, what has happened here? She literally has a hole in her head and she's just sitting there. Like, she looks like a zombie. She's out of it completely. And Lola is so mean to you. Like, oh my God, she's evil. Like, what the hell? Did you do this to your mum? Like, what is going on? And there's a vibe where you kind of feel like the dad is doing everything for her. Like, he's scared of his daughter and he loves her so much, he'll just do anything, even attack the mum or whatever. But then it's also like, wait, is she doing it for him? Quite a few moments where it seems like the power shift is either way. Wait, who is the main person in this one? Who is controlling these weird actions that's happening in this movie? So anyway, Xavier wakes up. He's just like, what is going on here? This is so weird. Why have you kidnapped me? What is going on? I barely knew you at school and now I'm like forced date. What is going on here? And the dad runs over, grabs Xavier, holds him down. He's also slowly trying to get out of his ropes, but she just grabs a little syringe, injects Drano straight in his neck so he can't scream out. He's like, and his voice sounds so weird. It's like in the Retaliators. They did a similar thing where he's like, you put Drano down their throat, it's going to do havoc to the vocal cords. And they're like, we can't hear you. And this is like the second movie with Xavier Samuel I've covered as well, where it's almost instantly the same thing. Like, his friend died in Bait and now the dad died in this, where we see him all happy and bubbly. And then the whole movie we get to watch is him being all upset and depressed and all this sort of stuff. He does play a character pretty well. He plays depressed pretty good. What is happening? And he's trying to scream out. It's crazy. They're sitting around the table just like as if it's a happy day. They're like, yeah, formal night. And then Lola's trying to force chicken down the mum and you're just like, wow, she treats the mum so badly. And then she looks over to him and he's like, what are you looking at? And then starts to force the chicken down Brent's mouth. She's like, is it finger licking good? Is it finger licking good? Is it finger? And she's basically like, answer me. And then the dad grabs a hammer. He's like, you better answer her. Yeah. Yes, because he can't talk. His throat is destroyed. We'll prove it. And she's like, lick my finger. And he's like, toilet. And she's like, what? Oh, you need the toilet. Is it a number one or a number two? What? And then she like downs a glass of milk, which is such a villain trope now, I feel, in movies. Like, if you drink milk and nothing else, you are evil. I don't know why milk became the drink of choice for evil people. Has the empty glass and then pulls his dick out. We don't see it or anything like that. But then she's like, go on. Come on. And she's like, you've got 10 seconds. She's like, 1, 2. And then the dad's like grabbing it. And she's like, if you don't do it, I'll nail it to the chair. And he's like, ugh. And then he finally starts peeing on about the count of 8. She's like, oh, it's crying. Maybe I should give it a kiss. And then she goes down. You're like, wait, what is happening now? And the dad's watching and he's so close, but you can see his face is like, what are you doing? Like, he's almost upset. He's like, you wouldn't do that to him. No, like, but he won't say anything. And his look just says so much. It's just so messed up as well. Like, he seems more upset that she's doing it to him than the fact that she's doing it in front of him, if that makes sense. And then she's about to go down, her head goes down, and she goes, or maybe I should just bite it off so no one can kiss it ever again. It's so strange. But while she's like right in his face, he gets free from the ropes. He leans back, kicks her, knocks her across the table. She's like knocked out. And then he runs off and he's like hopping because his legs are still tied. And he makes it outside, cuts the other rope with a razor because he's got around his necklace and all this sort of stuff. And then he starts running off. The dad starts chasing him in the car. And then he reverses the car. You can see him. And he's like, oh no. So they're running around the property. He climbs up a tree. He runs the car into the tree. And then they just sit there. And then Lola joins them again. And they're like, oh my God, let's get him. Let's get him. And they're holding a spotlight up to him. And then they just start throwing rocks. And she's having so much fun because she's like, this is a fun game. Let me have a turn. And they're throwing rocks at him. And then he falls down on the car, knocks himself out. It's like he almost made it. But now they're not going to let him go away this time. So they've securely tied his arms up this time. And to make it even better for him, they've taken his shoes off and socks, and the dad starts hammering knives, like steak knives, into his feet so they're into the floor. And you're just like, that's for Lola, that's for me, that's for the Kingswood. And he's just like, and he can't scream because of the vocal cords and all that, but it's just brutal. You're like, you're just watching, you're like, oh my God, this family is crazy. What the hell is going on here? So Lola grabs a scrapbook and she starts showing Brent all these Polaroids of her like in the pink dress every time with these guys tied to chairs. And it's just like, oh my God, how many people have they killed? This is crazy. She's like, this guy, yeah, he got so scared he wet himself. And they're laughing and then dad's like, oh yeah. And she's like, this one was boring. And this one here, this is the one that got away. And there's like a newspaper clipping saying kidnapped son of cop and all this sort of stuff. You're like, wait up, which son is this exactly? And then it like flashback to before, and then you see that this is the one that was in the road, and we don't really know what happened to him. Like, maybe they went back and got him, but if he got away, what happened to him? I don't understand what happened here. It's never addressed either. You can just see that there's this history of all these people they've kidnapped and like killed at some point, and you're kind of like, how long have you been doing this for? I thought it was just the end of the year thing that this is a one-off, but no, she's been doing it for ages. Always wears a pink dress. This is like some ritual that her and her dad do. It's very strange, and a lot of unanswered questions with it. I want to know more. Like, what is going on? This is so creepy. This is so messed up. Why? I want to know more. But they don't explain it, but you're just like, oh my God, this family is really messed up. This isn't even a one-off. This has happened before. But this is also where it starts to get me, where I'm like, she's a student and the dad's the teacher. Or is it kind of like he's just done it for her sake? But there's a few other things later on where you're like, he's telling her what to do and she looks like she hasn't done it before. You're like, he's definitely done this before, but I'm like, why would he kidnap people for her as a date? And that, I don't know. I don't understand the premise of why this would happen if she didn't start doing it from the beginning. You just want to know more. That's all I want to do. Every time I watch this movie, I see a few more details and I'm just like, but while all this is happening, it cuts back to Jamie and Mia and they're off their heads now. They're so drunk. They're just rocking out to metal. They're having a great time. They open the door. She falls out and then they go inside. They're like, maybe we should finally go inside there. They start slow dancing for a while and then she basically starts grabbing his dick and then the principal comes up. Let's take that somewhere else, hey? And meanwhile, this is happening. The dad's like calling out. He's like, okay. And the queen of the dances and like she's doing a drum roll like, and he's like, Lola Stone. She's like, oh my God, yes, you're my king, yes. And they're getting a photo and she's sitting there and like Brent just looks so destroyed. He's like bleeding everywhere and she's carved a huge love heart with LS on his chest with a fork and he's just bleeding and he's just tied up and he just looks so destroyed. He's managed to get the razor out of his pocket, so I think he's got a plan to cut free again. They have destroyed him. He's got carvings. He can't talk anymore. His feet are all destroyed. It's just like, oh, she's crazy. But yeah, she's there and she's making him stand up, and they're like dancing around again to like, oh, I'm not pretty enough. And she's having this slow dance, and they're just like, oh, it's so beautiful. And you're like, what the hell? This is so weird. And while they're slow dancing, like, he has to stay in the spot because he's got knives through his feet. There's blood everywhere. And then you just see all this glitter, and you're like, why is this happening? And then you look up, and the dad is just sprinkling glitter all over them as they're dancing. And it's just like, is this the routine? Is this part of what you do all the time? It's just so messed up. It's very strange. Then she's sick of dancing with him. She's like, oh, you're just a frog like all the rest of them. And she's like, dad, will you dance with me? And then they have this slow dance, and they're looking at each other's eyes so intently. You know what, dad? You're my prince. And he's like, you're my princess. And she's like, you know why I can never find anyone who's right? Because you're the one I wanted. You're the one I needed the whole time. And he's like, yeah, I know what you mean. And then they're like about to kiss, I think. It's so awkward to watch. You're like, what is happening here? Like, the torture is weird enough. You don't have to do this weird daughter relationship. So I've actually got a fun little theory that I've only discovered this time watching it, is that I reckon he's been kidnapping all these people to stop her from her love with him. I feel like they've got this weird father-daughter dynamic that, like she said, no one will ever be like you. You're the only one I ever wanted. And I feel like he's been fighting this for years. She wants him. She's getting older. It's becoming weirder and weirder now. She's becoming a woman and he can't fight it off. The wife's still around, but like, I don't think she's in the picture at all at this point. But yeah, she wants the dad so much that he's like fighting it, and he's just like, oh, I can't do it. But he does have this relationship where he does everything for her. I feel he's on the last little threads of fighting this until he's about to like, okay, let's just do it or whatever else. But yeah, I reckon he's been kidnapping guys. So he's trying to get a date, and maybe she'll find the right one, even though like the kidnap, they're obviously not going to be into it anyway, but they might find the perfect one, and then she'll be happy and then focus all the attention on that guy instead of him, because she knows she's like evil and crazy anyway. So she needs something to take her mind off the fact that she only wants to be with the dad. And I think she's really pushing it now, and he needs people to please be like, please be the perfect one. Be the Prince Charming to take the focus off that. So I don't have to have this weird relationship with my daughter, which I'm pretty sure is about to happen until Brent came along and changes the whole thing. But yeah, that's my theory, that he's been kidnapping these people for years. I don't know why they wear the pink dress. I don't know if they do the whole formal thing every time, or that was only because it was the end of the year formal now. But yeah, she's definitely wearing a pink dress for some weird reason. And maybe it's like a big date night thing. I don't get it. I don't understand why they're doing that. There's no answers to that. But that's my theory of why he's been kidnapping people for so long. And now she's getting bigger and older and all this sort of stuff, that he's like, well, if you're going to kill these people because they're never the right one, you have to start killing them now. You got to learn what to do to get rid of them and all this sort of stuff. It's very strange, but that's my theory of why they've been kidnapping people. And I'm just throwing it out there. If anyone has a similar thought or agrees or whatever else or hasn't thought about it before, hit me up. I'm interested. I want to hear other theories. Why are they doing this? How long have they been doing it? Why? Anyway, let's keep going with the movie. They're about to kiss, and it's like, oh my God, it's finally happening. And then Brent does something. It takes their focus away, and they're like, oh God. And they're like, okay, it's food time now. And then he grabs the possum from earlier, cuts its head off, and then they open up the floor, and you're like, oh my God, what the hell is happening here? And then we realize that the floor in the middle of their kitchen is literally a basement that is full of the victims that we thought were dead and all this sort of stuff. Like, some of them are there. They were like, because you can only hear that weird screaming that's from like the Drano and all this sort of stuff. They're literally in a dark hole, and he just throws them roadkill and sing for your supper. That literally under the floorboards is a room full of these monster type people. They're basically cannibalistic now. And you're just like, what is happening? It's very similar to the Retaliators. This is so strange, where they've kept them long enough and they've got this weird drill hole in their head. These are basically zombies now, and they've just kept them there like it's all comfortable. Eh, whatever. They're just the guys we feed. They're our pets. They're under the floor. It's all cool. And then it cuts to Jamie and Mia for a short moment, which is kind of like the comedy relief from all this like sadistic torture that's happening and all this. And they're having sex in the car. And then the principal knocks on the window. He's like, yeah, when I told you to like take it somewhere else, I meant off school property. And then it cuts back to Lola's house. She's going through a toolbox. She pulls out the drill. And this is the moment where I'm like, wait, I think this was the dad controlling everything up to this point. But now she's starting to take the reins herself, because she grabs the drill and she doesn't know what to do. So all these holes that happened previously, all these holes that have happened before are from the dad's hand. The dad must have done the mum and all these guys that are in the hole. And who's in control here? This is the moment where I was like, yeah, I think the dad started all this. So I feel like my theory might have been true, that he's just done all these weird sadistic things because he's just trying to stop these. And he's like, well, I know this little trick might work, or I don't know. There's so much backstory that I would love to know. The dad's basically telling Lola how to drill the hole into Brent's head. And even if you watch the DVD menu, as I paused it because I had to go back to this chapter because it got out of it, it's called My First Drilling. And you're like, okay, she didn't do any of these prior to this. This makes me feel like the dad is the teacher telling her, and now she's becoming her own killer and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, she starts drilling a hole into Brent's head and he's just like, ah! And he's like, be careful not to go too far. If you go too far, you'll kill them and all this sort of stuff. And he does a hole in her head. And then she like grabs a kettle that's boiling and they're like, we got to boil your brains. It's the best way that we can control you and all this sort of stuff. And you're just like, they just have the small amount of physical like ability and that's all they do. They just sort of, they don't have like physical thoughts anymore, I guess. But yeah, she's about to pour it on him and then pours it onto the dad's arm by mistake. He's like, ah! He's like, no, you got to pour it up better. And you're kind of like, what is the backstory here with the dad? I'd love to know how all this started. The more I watch this, the more I want to learn more and more about the movie. It's great. But anyway, yeah, she goes to do it again. She's like, no. He's like, make a big hole. I don't know what to do. And she's getting nervous because it seems like she literally has not done this before. She's kidnapped him and done all the weird stuff like carving them and all this sort of stuff. And it seems like the dad must have been in charge prior to Brent. So yeah, she's having a go. But yeah, the dad grabs a drill, makes a bigger hole in his head. And you can just see like the sort of steam from like carving into his head. You're like, oh my God, that is brutal. Imagine the smell of that. They're going to pour it through his head, but then he like manages to break free. He gets the drill and carves it across the side of the dad's face and his face is all carved up and he's like, ah! And then he manages to break free, leans down, grabs a knife out of his foot and just stabs it into the dad's neck so many times. And then Lola jumps on him and tries to attack him. He punches her a few times in the face and knocks her out. And then Brent throws the dad down to the hole with all the monsters and he's just kind of like, ah! But then she comes up behind him and then throws him in. He's like, no. She's like, dad! And you can see the dad just getting attacked and eaten by all the little, like, the cannibal, like, monsters that are in there now. All these victims who have turned into animals, pretty much, are eating the dad. She's like, daddy, daddy! And she throws the hammer down and a bucket and a whole bunch of stuff and then basically covers Brent over. You're like, no! And he's just stuck in this hole now. It's like, oh, okay, now I'm dead. But she's also thrown a torch down there that they were using before when they were throwing the rock. So he's got the torch, but all these monsters start turning at him. And then he uses a hammer and he just fights them off and all this sort of stuff. Because I meant like, I feel like they'd be very animalistic, but they're probably weak as hell. Like they don't have that much food down there or anything like that. It's just a pile of bones and all this. So he's fighting it off. We don't really see exactly what's happening now. It's just, she's so upset and she just goes straight into the room where Bright Eyes is, which is a mum. And then she's finally like, dad's not here to stop me anymore. I'm going to do exactly what I wanted to do ages ago. And she just grabs the pillow and smothers her, which is probably a kindness to her almost because her life is hell. And the fact that the dad's not there to look after anymore, like Lola's going to give her zero care and she would just destroy her slowly and painfully over the rest of her life. So getting put out with a pillow was probably the nicest thing that could happen to her. Or, you know, maybe take her somewhere else where someone else could look after her. But anyway, so meanwhile, while this is happening, Jamie takes me about back, and then she goes back to her room. The parents see that she's really drunk and all that, and they open the door to see if she's okay. She's crying, and you realize that the guy, the one that got away, was actually her brother, and that was the cop's son and all this sort of stuff. And that's why she wants drugs and alcohol and all this sort of stuff to feel something, because she feels so empty that her brother's died. She clearly hasn't moved past yet, neither have her parents. But then Holly is just sitting there. She's crying as well because she's like, I don't know what's happening to Brent. I don't know what's happening. And then she like dawns on it. She's like, wait, Lola Stone. He said Lola Stone. And then she calls the cop and he's like, yeah, Lola Stone maybe. And then he zooms over there. He checks out. He looks through the window and he sees blood everywhere. Oh my God. Yeah. And goes inside the house and he's looking at him and then he can hear the scream because you can hear Brent like, and he's throwing the bucket at the roof and all this because Brent cannot get out. He's stuck. He's trapped. And then Mia's dad opens the doors up and then he looks down. He's like, oh my God, what happened here? And then he turns around. Lola comes up with an axe, hacks him in the head. He falls straight down. He's dead. And then it's just like, oh my God. And she's like, leans down. She sees the little razor thing. And then she's like, you know what? I'm going to go to your house and stab your mummy in the neck. And then I'm going to go find Holly and stab her in the heart. And he's like, and then Brent's trying to scream. He's like, no, no. And then she walks off. And then he just sort of like, oh, wait up. And he sees the lights lit up this pile of bones and it's in a pile. And then Brent gets the thought that he can be like, maybe I could just pole these bodies. And that's high enough now because there's enough people in there. It can get me out because he's already clearly killed all these people off now with a hammer. So he's the only one in there. He's trapped. Now he's a potential way to get out because Lola's never going to come back and help him or anything like that. So no one knows he's there. He is doomed. And you know, he's good at climbing as well. So he can like get himself out there a lot easier than other people would be. It cuts to the morning and Lola is just walking down the main road, all bloody, holding like the scrapbook. And Holly starts driving that way and then sees her. And I thought she hit her, but she must have just like bumped her or something because all the paper goes in the air. But then Lola opens the side door and she looks evil. Like her eyes look like they're just pure black at this point. What are you doing? And then she's like, oh, Holly, you're the person I was going to kill anyway. And she's got a big knife. And then they're fighting it out in a tiny little car. She falls out onto the road. They're still fighting. They're chasing each other. Holly's running away. Lola's just behind her with a knife. And then you see that Brent has made a big pile of all the bodies, climbed out of the hole. He's in the police car and he's speeding so fast down the road. He's finally driving again. And then he's driving, goes over a hill, just narrowly avoids missing Holly. And then as he's swerving out, he's losing it again, smashes into Lola. And he's like, oh my God. And then he pulls over and then Holly goes to jump into the car thinking it's a cop. And then she sees it's him and she's kind of scared at first. Oh my God. And they have like a quick hug. And as they're sitting there in the car, they're just all like taking it in for a second. You could hear like, ka-ting, ka-ting. Ka-ting. And then you look back and Lola's arm is snapped. She's like being destroyed by the car, but she's still just using the knife to drag herself towards the car. It's like she won't stop. She's like the Terminator. She's like, I have to kill. And she's just ka-ting, ka-ting. And then they're just looking back and they're like, and then he puts it in reverse, smashes her back, and then he drives off to his house, shows up. The mum comes out, sees the cop car, and then she sees that it's Holly. And the mum was actually the one from Body Melt. She was a weird rib girl. I don't know. It's not that important. But I was like, I'm not recognize that face. She sees Holly and then Brent comes out and she's like, oh my God, yes. And they have this nice embrace. The three of them have a big hug. And that is the end of the movie. That is the end of Loved Ones. Oh my God, what a thrill ride. What an amazing movie. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now it's time for the movie rating. There's four parts with a max score out of 5 per section, adding up to a potential total score out of 20. Part 1 is characters. Was it relatable? Was it fun? Was it annoying? Part 2 is the plot. Was it plausible? Enjoyable? Rubbish. Part 3 is the quality. Was it good effects? Did it look good? And part 4 is the vibe. What was the feeling once it finished? So that's the four sections. Now let's find out the results. So these scores probably won't be too much of a surprise, but part one, I've given it a 5 out of 5 because it's just like, I love the characters. Lola's so creepy. She's got so much going on. The dad's so strange. And it's just like, what is going on? I want to know so much, but they play the characters perfect. Xavier plays depressed perfectly. He's so good for that. And the friends are fun and bubbly. And the Mia character's perfect because she's someone who's experienced loss as well. I think, like, how many people in this town have lost someone thanks to Lola's family? It's crazy. Holly's great. The mum plays depressed and sad as well. Everyone just plays their characters perfectly. It was so good. They're believable. It's enjoyable to watch. Had no issues with any of them. For part two, I've given it a 4 out of 5 because it was great. It's a good story. I just wish I got a little bit more out of it because there's a lot of things that happen where, like, these little subtle little things where you're like, I want to know more. I've got these theories now of what's happening in the movie. I just wish there was a little bit more given for the backstory and all this sort of stuff. And a lot of things just happen very conveniently. This person's here, blah, blah, blah. This happened here. But at any rate, 4 out of 5 is pretty much perfect. Part 3, I've given it a 5 out of 5. The quality of it, it's amazing. I would 100% think that Xavier Samuel got carved up with a knife, got his foot stabbed. Everything about it, every little thing, like the victims who were like animalistic cannibals in like dark hole now, they looked great. Every injury looked real. The damage to the cars, the houses, everything about it, it looked amazing. It was 5 out of 5, definitely for quality. Part 4 is the vibe. I've given it a 5 out of 5. Not a surprise. I love the movie. It's so good. The more I watched it, I got so much more out of this viewing. I feel like I already liked it before and I've seen it a bunch of times, but this one, I just got like the theories of what's happening, the backstories, all this potential that isn't there yet, and I'd love to know more. It was amazing. I just loved it. 5 out of 5. I felt so good after watching it. Like, talking about it now, I'm still pumped up. I'm like, oh my God, I almost feel like watching it again. Such a good movie. So the total score for The Loved Ones is 19 out of 20. That's probably the best score I've given any movie so far. I started with a movie I really love, so obviously it's going to be a higher rating. But yeah, 19 out of 20 for The Loved Ones. I loved it so much. And thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the new year. And feel free to add me on the new socials, and I will do my best to engage with people a lot more this year than I did last year. Thanks again for listening. My name's Danny Boy. This was the Creepy Crap Podcast. The movie was The Loved Ones, and I will catch you next week. See you later.